I want to talk about a lot of the stuff on this disc, but first I wonder if you could tell us, Philippe, the story of how you got the idea to record the music of Charlie Chaplin.
Sure. About 3 years ago, I was working on several concepts of CD concepts, and, you know, I wanted to get away from the beaten path of doing same pieces over and over. I've recorded a lot of standard major concertos repertoire, and I wanted to come up with something original. So one of my great passions and loves when it comes to music is exploring works of film composers, as well as great classical composers that have written for film. So I started slowly putting together one of those concepts. And while doing some research on YouTube, I came across a song called Smile that was, I believe, recorded by Gidon Kremer. And I heard that arrangement for violin and piano. And I thought to myself, well, that's a lovely song. I think it comes from a Hollywood film. Wasn't sure which one, but I did look at the credits and I noticed that Charlie Chaplin was credited as a composer. And I thought, well, surely that's a mistake. So I started doing a little more research, and I could not find any other composer next to Chaplin's name anywhere. So the light bulb did not go off at that point yet. But I thought to myself, well, that will be a great song for my future album of film music. And as you may know, YouTube has this interesting function. When one song finishes, or when one video rather finishes, it throws you to the next one. And in my case, it threw me to the soundtrack of Limelight. And I heard this film overture, which I thought to myself, what a glorious music, what beautiful tunes. And once again, I looked at the credits and I see Charlie Chaplin, the composer. That's when I think this may have been my aha moment, when I thought, what else did he write? So I started searching the web, and I came across an album of songs published by Born, his publisher. And that album had about 13 songs, and I immediately noticed that a lot of those songs had beautiful melodies that would work great on violin. So this was really the beginning of the project. I met with Martha and shared my idea of Chaplin with her. We both were very excited about this discovery. And we started working together on Smile and Eternally. Those were the first two tracks in collaboration with the New York arranger Charles Coleman. And then we picked maybe five or six other songs from that published album that I mentioned. And so we had about seven songs at that point, and then adding three more from various sources and creating a City Lights suite, we had about 10. And those 10 arrangements only came to about 38 minutes of music, which was horrifying for us, because we were sure that we had at least 2 hours of music. Well, Martha is laughing here next to me, because we just remember that glorious moment of realizing that we have only such little time after so much work, almost 2.5 years of work. So then we added three more, and we asked another arranger, Leon Gurevich, to help us put together Fantasy from The Kid, which was a movie that I was familiar with and thought also it had glorious melodies. And that's a very long answer to your very short question.
That's good. It covers a lot of bases.
Yes.
A couple of things. Full disclosure, Charles Coleman is a good friend of mine. So we've actually talked a little bit about about the album and his arrangements, which I think are just wonderful. There's a lot of humor as well as pathos in those arrangements, as there are in the songs themselves. And Charles told me, incidentally, that he got to turn pages for me a couple of weeks ago.
He did. And by the way, he was the best page turner of the entire tour. So, he really was. He did a fabulous job. And that's a very important job.
Yeah.
He was our very overqualified
page
turner.
He really was. He was.
It would be really embarrassing for him, I imagine, if he missed a page.
Well, one could argue that, you know, he was so swept away in the music. That
by
he,
his own
by
arrangements.
By his own arrangements.
I can see that totally with Charles. I can see that happening. Now, I wonder if you could both talk a little bit. Philippe, you grew up in the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union. Did you have any exposure to Charlie Chaplin and, you know, that sort of iconic tramp, you know, growing up? Was that a part of your experience at all?
Yes, luckily for me, Chaplin was one of the Western actors that was very popular in Soviet Union, partly because his movies were silent. So I think the Soviets felt that there was not going to be any poisonous message conveyed through that. And second is, of course, you know, because, you know, I'm speculating, Chaplin was banned out of United States, I think, during the McCarthyist era on suspicions of his ties to Communist Party, which was not true. But I think both of the factors allowed Soviet TV to broadcast Chaplin's film. So I essentially grew up on many of the Chaplin's movies, of course, without paying attention what they are or exactly what the story is. You know, we were just watching those images, frames, pictures, and it didn't mean much. But I do remember dressing up as Charlie Chaplin for one of my kindergarten events.
Nice.
So but it's a very vague memory, honestly.
Marta, you're from Chicago, right?
I am.
Yeah, so you have, like, you know, the American experience of Charlie Chaplin, which I don't think is too different from what Philippe is talking about. We have those kind of, you know, those distant memories of him as the tramp. And
I do remember the big shoes. I remember, of course, not. I remember the baggy pants, the bowler hat. Of course, not realizing what it all, at the time, what it all came from, where it all
right.
came from, you know, and that is really what has been so endearing about this entire project. You talked about the pathos in his songs. I mean, it was the pathos in all his content of his movies. Everything was inspired by his past memories of hardship. You know, even his walk, that, you know, kind of back and forth walk was, you know, painful walking from, you know, the homeless people in South London, where their shoes didn't fit. They had to slice the sides open so their feet could fit in their shoes. Yeah, that's what's been so endearing. It's this dichotomy between, you know, laughter and hardship, and his coping through hardship through laughter.
Well, and that comes out in the music, obviously. One of the wonderful things about this disc is, yes, it has some of those usual suspects among Chaplin's work, but there's a wealth of music on here that I had never heard before and had no idea that he was so prolific of a composer when it came to these kinds of melodies. Was that a similar experience for you as you were discovering works of his?
Absolutely. Just mind-boggling how prolific he was as a composer. And, of course, that prompted the question, how did he do that? You know, being quite a busy man on the set, already taking up roles of a producer, director, actor, pretty much a one-man show, and mm-hmm. adding a composer to that already challenging roster of jobs, you know, would be something essentially overwhelming for anybody to take on if you don't have training and if you don't understand how to write music. And he didn't write music. He was amateur composer. He was amateur violinist, pianist, conductor, and later on arranger. And learning about his process of putting music on page, that was, I think, also one of great discoveries, which came later in the process. You know, we were essentially learning on the job. You know, first the attraction was the music. Second was how he composed it and who he was as a person and how he approached the world of music in general. And he had a lot of great composers around him to help him, and he had a lot of great arrangers around him mm-hmm. to help him. And, you know, it was a team of people that was always working with him, and he was incredibly versatile in his knowledge of music, and he knew exactly what he wanted. So when he would show up on a set of a film, he would hum a melody to the composer or arranger, and he would say that this is what I want for this particular scene. And he would hum the tune, and he would sometimes say, here I'd like a little bit of Chopin. Here I'd like a little bit of Debussy. And here, please, you know, some Tchaikovsky. And you hear all the traces of that music in so many of mm-hmm. his films. You know, even in the modern times, he was going through a stage of really admiring the music of George Gershwin. And there is a very famous ship sailing scene where Rhapsody in Blue is quoted. No, not in its entirety, but you can clearly recognize the tune. Yeah, that one measure is enough as a quote. So that was a fascinating process. And occasionally, he would look at an orchestral score that was given to him by a composer, or an arranger. And he would say, here are too many notes and here are too little notes. And the arranger would be quite perplexed in terms of what they should do. But those were also very clear instructions that were coming from an incredible instinct that Chaplin had as a person. And that instinct is what made him mm-hmm. different from everyone else that was working at the same time.
Well, you mentioned little snippets of classical composers found in Modern Times, and the title track, Smile, from Modern Times, uses sort of a little riff from Tosca, does it not? That da-da-da-da-da-da kind of thing?
Well, this is the first time we hear this, so this is your discovery.
I actually found it on Wikipedia, but other than that,
okay,
it's somebody else's discovery. But I hadn't noticed that before. It has that kind of, you know, that duet between Tosca and Cavaradossi.
There's a familiarity,
well,
yeah.
That was his influences were what was around him, you know. And
yeah. Loved Verdi.
Well, it was passionate music. And all of his music was character-driven. It was a very important part of conveying his emotions in his films. So anything moving, you know, in any way, manner, shape, or form, I'm sure he would store in his mind just along his travels and just use in future films.
I want to give one last little shout-out to Charles, because I noticed that he folded a little of La Vie en Rose into
yes.
that arrangement.
That was Charles's idea.
That was
Charles's idea. And then I remember talking to him about it, and I said, well, I mean, how is that going to fly? And he said, well, it's going to fly very well because it's from the same period, and it's a little bit of an homage. Mm. And he said, Chaplin would really appreciate that. And I said, you know what? I agree. Let's keep it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Well, there's just a wealth of discoveries to be found on this. Wonderful arrangements. And you also have Joshua Bell on this recording, right?
Oh, yes. My dear colleague and friend, Joshua Bell, with whom I collaborated multiple times. And this is our first recording together. I just thought that he was an ideal person to join this project. When the project was picked up by Warner Classics, they actually asked me if there was a guest artist that I would consider bringing on board. And Josh's name came immediately, and I suggested him and spoke with Josh, and he found the project absolutely fascinating, I must say. And of course, it was right up his alley, you know, him also doing many, many song arrangements in the last decade and doing it creatively, virtuosically. And he just added really a lot to being part of Smile and Mandolin Serenade, with also having great ideas, mm-hmm. with wonderful suggestions, and it was just wonderful to work with.
Mm-hmm. I like the way that you imitate the mandolin in that particular.
That was your idea. That was Philip's idea.
This was my idea, because I wanted to come up with some solution that we don't have to actually bring mandolin player.
Yeah, that's good.
And yeah, it was quite challenging, but I think the effect really worked with mixing the effect with actually playing pizzicato on violin with a tremolo in the bow. So that's an effect that you hear throughout Mandolin Serenade.
That's great. Well, violinist Philippe Quint and pianist Marta Aznavourian, the album is called Chaplain's Smile from Warner Classics. Thanks so much for joining us and talking about it and sharing the music here on FM 91.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Brett.